vintage hat, shirts, golf gear supreme. Raiders of resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips of cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders.
I am so glad it mutes y'all automatically while that song is playing, because I can only imagine what y'all, how loud y'all are singing. Anyways, welcome back to the Raiders of Resale podcast, live from the Hat House. I am Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. Tonight, we're going to go back to AI, because it was such a hot topic, and several things have come up this week as we've been chatting about this AI thing. We definitely want to dig back into that, and then we're going to get to some of your questions that you sent us throughout the week. So if y'all have any questions out there in the Instagram land, or make sure you get over to YouTube so you can chat with us in the chat. We love to hear from you guys and see where you guys want to take it as well. Appreciate everybody in the podcast world. We are getting so many more downloads every single week there. Hotspots, I got a shout out. Atlanta, Hotlanta is one of our hotspots. We have a lot of listeners there. Really appreciate you guys. And then also the Bay Area in San Francisco, pretty big hotspot for us. So really good to see. A lot of our listeners are kind of in the East Coast, but we're gradually taking over the map. So we appreciate everybody out there in podcast land that downloads us, especially on Apple. Seems to be where most of you get your podcasts, which is awesome. We can also be found on Spotify, YouTube, and Amazon. Leave us a 5-star review. And as always, we got a new sponsor. Who's it this week?
Woo-woo! We got a sponsor in the house. Introducing Big Ass Fans. Yes, that's really their name. And no, they don't sell donkeys. They sell giant, majestic, air-moving death blades that whisper, you could have bought Central Air, but you didn't. These aren't your grandma's ceiling fans. No. Big-ass fans are engineered in a secret government facility where scientists ask, what if we gave a Boeing 747 wings and pointed it at your face? We're talking fans so big, they come with their own gravitational pull. So powerful, They've been banned in 3 states for causing spontaneous hair modeling. Is your office too hot? Big ass fans. Is your warehouse full of sad, sweaty workers? Big ass fans. Church choir about to pass out mid hallelujah? Big ass fans. So go to Big Ass Fans, because size does matter and airflow is no joke. Big ass fans, we move air like it owes us money. Thank you, Big Ass Fans.
That's real deal, too.
Big ass fans.
Most people know I worked at Walmart for like 20 years, and we had big ass fans. We actually had them out in the garden center out there, and they always broke down. They only work half the time, so they were pretty ass fans. We just called them the ass fans. I'm not talking real good of our sponsor right now, but they did move some air, and the size doesn't matter.
We have them in our plant, and we have quite a few of them. Big ass fans around moving that air.
Great. Yes. Do you get a discount? Any discount from the Raiders?
Yeah. It's buy one, get two free.
Well,
I guess if I ever rebuild a plant.
I'm putting one in the playpen right now.
Yeah. You need like a medium ass fan.
Yeah, no, I need a big ass fan. I need one that scrapes all the walls. I'm going to cut little slats in the walls. Do you know where the tip will hit?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Bro,
I've done you right now.
You do too much. You do too much right now.
Hey, you know who has big ass fans? Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's has big ass fans.
Buc-ee's has big ass fans.
Great read. Definitely want to get to some of
the
viewer questions.
Did we lose our
there's more.
Did we lose our chat box?
Oh, I gotta put it up there.
You have to hit on comments.
Yeah.
Boom. There it is.
There it is. Cool. We're back, boys.
All right. So Chris reached out, and he was, we've had this question several times before, and I get this question a lot. And it's really about pricing. He was like, if you could share, I'm new to selling hats. It really could be anything. When I'm looking to compare prices, sometimes I'm unable to find. So how do I price an item? And pricing is, especially if we're going to break it down to just hats, it's really subjective to me. Usually you're not going to find the exact hat that you had a lot of times. Sometimes you can find it. I always hit the Google Lens first, see if I can find it on Google Lens, and then see what it's priced for there. And then if I can't find it there, then usually if it's like a sports hat or a New Era hat, or if it's newer, then I just try to find the closest one to it. If you're really price sensitive, then price it at the top of the market and put the best offer on it and see how it is. If you don't really care, then price it $5 under and try to sell it. But pricing is where a lot of people get hung up on listing. And we're going to talk later definitely about this new listing AI. But people just get too hung up on the price sometimes, and it like paralyzes them from actually getting it listed and getting it up. That's why I usually just utilize the best offer. Every once in a while, I list a hat and it sells in 30 seconds after I list it. And I'm like, well, could I have made $20 more? I don't know. Sometimes you just don't know.
Right.
What do you guys think about pricing?
No, I think everything you said is pretty good there. I mean, one thing I would add to that is, like, if I'm doing the Google Lens and I'm not getting exactly what I'm looking for, I may add some keywords into the search as well. It helps curate a better result. Like, I was just in the Whatnot show where Griff Golf and DP do their comedy thing. They co-host each other called Get in a Cart. And DP held up this hat, and it just said it was a crest with three C's in it and some other stuff. Google search brought it up, and it was really kind of unique hat. It was like a Father Ryan High School in Tennessee. And I'm like, dude, where do you get a hat like that from?
And you found it.
Well, Google search pulled it right up, yeah.
That's amazing. And the other thing about hats is, I do want to say, typically on 99% of the hats, the sell-through rate is so low. It takes, unless you just get lucky, a lot of times you're going to be waiting to sell that hat unless you're a little bit under the market or you take a best offer. What do you think, Fired Up?
I'm basically with both of you guys. Like, the subject matter matters a ton when you can't find that the exact either listed or sold. Rob's OCD is going to freak him out.
It is freaking you can't, out because I'm seeing it crooked behind me.
You can't find that specific hat. The subject matter, whether it's, you know, a car or tools or, something along those lines, maybe. Maybe you can find what the company is, but there's not a hat for it. And if it falls into one of those, like, you know, manly man categories, then you can look up, you know, other hats that are in that kind of genre or whatever, you know what I mean? And then basically, if your hat's super, super cool, then go to the top. If it's kind of just like a whatever hat, then kind of go to the bottom or the middle, and then kind of just work from there. I also think that a lot of people don't ever talk about eBay auctions. You know, like, how I look at eBay auctions is just like I look at a whatnot auction in a longer format, is if you don't know something, but you think it's cool and there's nothing out there like it, and you put it on an auction, the starting bid doesn't have to be 99 cents. You know what I mean?
I was just getting ready to say that.
You have to do exactly what Rob just said, and you have to flood that listing or that title with as many keywords as humanly possible, because that's what's going to get all the views and watchers on that auction. And then just let it run and let the market decide what that thing is going to be worth. If your cost of the item is low, then even if it sells for 10 bucks, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, it could be, you could have 2, 3, 4, 10 people that are looking at that hat and want that hat, and then they'll start a little bidding war, and you might get 15, 20, 30% or more higher than what you were going to list that hat at anyway, because you flooded that title with a bunch of keywords and you had a lot of people interested in it. So, you know, there's tons of different ways, just like everything else, but, you know, sometimes there's things that are good on auction and there's things that aren't, just like anything else. But, you know, that it's definitely a strategy that I don't think personally is used enough when it comes to not being able to properly comp out an item like something that's a little bit more common, you know?
Right. I do want to shout out some of the people that made it into the chat. I haven't got to yet. Beecham is here. Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you back in the chat, Beecham. Long time watcher on the channel. Appreciate you, Beecham. Then we got Brandon Little, Quirky Quest Treasures. The Collector is here. Long time watcher there. Appreciate you. Donnie, our man Donnie is here. And Chris is here too. Chris is the one that had the shout out with the question. He had a follow-up question too to that. When you have a hat that has tags or stickers, but you need to clean it, are you able to put it in your hat cleaner machine, or is it better to hand clean it? That is a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a hat cleaner machine. I wash.
I think that's your washing machine.
My washing machine. But most modern hats are washable. I try not to wash vintage hats as much. Most modern hats are washable. If it has tags on it and it's dirty, it's obviously used. So whether I don't ever try to sell a dirty hat,
Could be storage though.
It could be storage.
Yeah, what if it's storage dust?
It could be dead stock. If it's just dusty, then the best thing that I found to do with, if it's just dusty, is I have, you know, those little Dawn spray bottles that has the foaming Dawn. So I pour out almost all of that Dawn and just leave a little bit of Dawn in there. And then I fill it up with water and then I spray the hat with the Dawn solution. So it's like 90% water, 10% Dawn. And I spray the hat with that and it kind of foams up a little bit. And then I just brush it off with the brush. And that knocks out 99% of the dust and the dirt on a hat like that. That is probably like dead stock. And then I could sell it as new then if it still had the tags on it. It was just dusty. Right. If you don't have to wash a hat, don't wash it. I would say if you have to wash it, if it's really disgusting, then wash it if it's modern.
Sell it as new without tags.
Yeah. If you're just dusting it off, I would still sell it as new or new without tags. But if I ever wash something, I almost always call it used at that point.
Used.
Yeah, I actually run into that problem pretty often, Chris. For instance, because I literally have it right here. Not that this is remarkably dirty, but you can tell that this is obviously a dead stock Drew Pearson sometime in the 90s. And it has, see that stain right there on the corner of the brim? And it's obviously not a worn hat, you know what I mean? But do you sell this hat as new right now? You know what I mean?
I do because it's still vintage.
And yeah, exactly. But
you could.
I almost never I almost never pop tags to wash hats, not dust. You can dust them off without popping tags easily. But to actually wash storage stains or just, you know, whatever, transportation stains, whatever you want to call it, out of hats that won't come off with just a with just an easy brush. And this one's might not be the best example because that is super easy to wash off right there without having to do anything to act like the dome of the hat. But a lot of times I run into light colored gray, white, blue, whatever hats that will have, especially the white ones, that will have just like yellow spots basically up here because they've been tossed in bags and brought out to the flea market and, you know, all this other stuff. And I always think, I'm like, what's more valuable? Basically a stained deadstock hat with the tags or the same vintage hat, but all cleaned up and nice. You know what I mean? And how I look at it is I look at it as being almost almost the same price. Like, I don't think that a hat that has the tags on it but has stains up here is any more or less valuable than if I pop this tag off and washed it myself. Do you guys agree or no?
I think it actually becomes a little less valuable. And I think where you're going when you know, that drives your marketing then, because you could take that. Everybody could take that new hat and say new with tags. You got to disclose the issues and the problems with that. But if you have that within you, you could take that tag, pop it, clean it up. Now you've got a beautiful vintage hat ready to go. And you could sell the snot out of that.
Yeah.
You'd probably make more money.
Yeah. So that I run into that issue actually a lot because of the flea markets that I go to. You know, a lot of them are storage buyouts, things of that nature. And they toss everything in trash bags, haul it out to the flea market, dump it all over the ground. And then, you know, you pick through that. So, I do. I run into that a lot. I don't often take off the tags. But if I did take off the tags to wash it and sell it on eBay, I would keep the tag and I would just put it after it was washed. I would just put it right here, you know what I mean, right there, and keep this tag with it so people know, hey, you have the tag with it, and you know, you had to pop it off to clean it or whatever. So the Aryan hat shaper, I don't know
what an Aryan hat shaper is either.
Me neither. Hat washer cages. Duval is super dirty, dude.
Duval is dirty. We all know that.
They literally call it the dirty D for a reason, dude. The hat on my dome is a 90s co-ed naked firefighting. I'm 30 years old, so I wasn't necessarily all the way around when I would not. If that's some. It's just a shaper. So basically. Without knowing about it, Chris, basically, if you put your hat in that with the tags on it, I'm sure it steams. That little lid will close.
I have a video about that thing.
That little device will open up, probably, right?
Steamer, shaper.
Yeah, and so if you put this tag inside of that with all the steam, this tag's going to get all like gross and disgusting and probably disintegrate, and you know, it won't really be. It'll just ruin the tag anyway. So. You might as well just pop the tag off and save the good condition tag and then just keep it with the hat in your listing. You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
Again, I think it kind of goes back to people get paralyzed a little bit on what to do in the situation. And it keeps people from just getting it done sometimes. I mean, just, I don't think there's a wrong decision either way. I think there, if you do the washing route, you're kind of the risk goes up a little bit because it could bleed or you could not get it back into shape properly. And then you could actually lose. I lean towards, like I said, clean it as best I can with a little bit of Dawn and then list it and move on. And then either just call it used at that point. But
gotcha.
I just don't want people to get. Most of the time, I think it's a $5 or $10 thing, you know?
That's what I was saying. There's not a huge difference this way you want to wear or the other most of the time.
Yeah, don't get just like Steven said, don't get paralyzed by not listing the item because, you know, you don't know whether to wash it or not. Just, you know, choose what you think is going to be best and rip it up online, dude. And then somebody will buy it. And then, yeah, literally exactly what Lynn said. They can choose to do with it what they want. If they want to try to clean it, that's fine. There's plenty of ways to clean vintage hats and not have them bleed or minimize the risk of them bleeding. But, you know, sometimes shit that's going to bleed is going to bleed, you know? So, yeah. You know, you can do what you need to do to try to prevent it.
Yeah, but, and then you gotta think about the amount of time you're willing to put into it for $2 or $3 more.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another great point.
Like you Steven saying, it's like, hey, you know, yeah, yes. I don't want to spend 3 hours working on this one hat to make five extra bucks. And
yeah,
like Steven, I basically get it loaded up.
Well, Steven does a good job because he has so much inventory that comes in that he can lot up, say 50 hats or whatever whatever the number is, and wash all of them, you know, in the same time frame. And that's, in my opinion, that's the best way to do it. If you have an influx of inventory, and it's not just hats. If you have an influx of t-shirts and jackets and jeans and all this other stuff, and we separate all the stuff that's like, okay, it doesn't need to be washed. It's not bad. We do our thing. And then once we get enough, we'll take it. And then the soakers need to be soaked and so on and so forth. We'll do all of that just in one fell swoop, you know?
Yeah. For sure. Batching is definitely the way to go with whatever you're doing, whether it's if you've got 10 electronics that needs to be tested or 10 cameras, sit down and test all 10 of those cameras, or earbuds. If they need to be clean, then clean all the earbuds. And then batching is definitely the quickest way to get through it or wash all the hats at the same time. That's why I'm surprised. I sell some hat shapers, but, and I use them a little bit different than maybe people out there. I sell a lot to the people that are one-off wanting to fix their one hat. The hat shapers that I sell have really come in clutch for me in doing things in batches and then having like 10 of these hat shapers. I guess not a lot of people do what I do, so it's kind of different. But, and then I wash all these, I wash 50 hats and I have these 10, I have like 30 hat shapers, but then I can just go through and put a hat shaper in the 30 hats that really need it. And then I can be done with a good shaped hat and done with all these hats in the evening. I can wash 100 hats and have them ready to list by the next day. And so go ahead.
I agree with what you're saying. I actually have some of your hat shapers and right now I'm getting ready to do a hat show on Saturday, and not to the 50 or 100, but I've got like 30 hats sitting downstairs drying and shaping right now. And I always use yours for the high dollar hats, or what I deemed a high dollar hat. I always use yours. And then the other hats of lesser consequence or lesser value, I put on the other shapers that I have. You know, I don't have 30 hat house shapers, but I wish I did.
I don't have 30 in inventory to sell right now. I need to do better at making more, but it's whatever it is, it's batching is the way to go. And it took me 3 weeks to get through 500 earbuds. I went almost 3 weeks without, and I had We just sat here and we'd clean 50 earbuds, and then we had to charge 50 earbuds, and I had to go out and buy a couple of special charging boxes that had like 10 USB plugs in at the same time. Cause you got to find whatever your bottleneck is. You got to find figure out what is keeping me from getting the most done. And for us, it was getting that many charged to be able to test them. So I had to go out and put a little money into $40 worth of stuff to charge it with.
Well, yeah, you took on a new venture, and so you had to build that new assembly line. Like you've perfected your hat situation. You know, you've got that down to a science. Now you've stepped over here and you're rebuilding that new process for yourself. So
yeah, it makes sense. And that That would, and that I think that's the biggest bottleneck right now is getting everything charged and then getting everything tested. I still need more capacity for charging because I would like to be able to charge 50 after we clean 50, but I'm only able to charge like 25 at a time. And then if I forget to take it off the charger, and then it just becomes a big deal. But yeah, you got to figure out where your bottleneck is that slows down your production and try to find the solution to that. And that's where ingenuity, and that's where people set themselves apart in this whole business, is being able to be more productive with less time. And that takes us kind of into our next subject. So Fired Up sent me, I'm sure everybody knows who Tekken Sports is. That's in the reselling world. I've talked to him a couple of times. Awesome dude. Definitely, he deserves everything. He is the ultimate hustler out there, right?
Yeah, that dude is a hustler.
He is a hustler. And so he's Fired Up sent me. I don't watch that many videos anymore. But he sent me this one about Tech's new listing tool. So it's like a 15-minute better, what's it called?
Betterlister.ai, I believe.
Betterlister.ai. So I watched the video, and I was thinking about it quite a bit. It takes him about 10 minutes to do 20 listings on this thing. And I was thinking about it and where AI is kind of going. And I think, so what did we say? That's about 30 seconds a listing. Uh-huh. And then I've said before, I could do about a minute. So, but the whole problem with it is the cost. We're at $50 for 100 listings. So you're 50 cents a listing on this service. And then anything you go over, I think he's charging 50 cents. It's pretty much just 50 cents a listing. Now, I think where you have to ask yourself is again, the bottleneck. Is the bottleneck time? Can I really not get these extra 50 listings done? Do I really not have that time? Then maybe it's worth it. But if you're just being lazy, then I guess you get it and you use it. But I think most people, it's just about sitting down and doing it, because a listing only takes a minute or two. Once you get in the flow and you understand whatever you're selling, it doesn't take that long. I don't think you're saving a lot of time with it. Is it cool to upload 50 listings and be done in an hour?
I would say this: if it wasn't limited to 100 listings, if the $49.99 a month was an unlimited capability, it may make sense then, because I really like the slick way you could upload all those photos in a gang, and then the way you were clipping them, like this six goes with this listing, this five go with this listing, this four goes with this listing, and then it would separate them all out and then build them all. Now, if it wasn't structured for 100 listings per month, it may be something to look at. I think it's a great start. I think it's a beautiful premise, but I don't think it's quite, you know, Tekken's trying to, no fault to him, but he's trying to make his investment back to get it rolling. And I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people do. But
it's not absurd, 50 cents a listing. And I see where some people are using, what's it called? Outsourcing the service a little bit. What do they call them? People that work overseas that work for you. But anyway, so they're outsourcing some of this listing, and they're sending these pictures over to them, and they're doing listing, and that's costing them more, or they're paying somebody to do it, and it's costing them more. And I can see how you can kind of justify that. Definitely, if I was paying somebody to list stuff, this would probably be cheaper. 50 cents a listing is probably cheaper than if you're paying somebody to do it. But if you're just being lazy, I don't think it's worth it. I guess is where I'm at on it.
The cost is just the big. I mean, we're paying, what is it, $70 a month right now for unlimited Vendue. And I just talked to Amanda this evening before we got on the pod. And I was like, there's just like so many, there's just so many weird like hiccups with it. Not even from the delisting aspect that we talked about like a handful of weeks ago, but you got to keep your computer on, you know what I mean? Like you can't put your computer to sleep. And like, you know, if you do, if it's sleeping and somebody buys something from you on eBay, then it won't delist it from daggum, you know, the rest of them. And it, you know, it's not letting her log into the Depop now. And so, you know, and then there's just all these like little things that's like, you know, is it nice to, you know, have unlimited cross listings? Yeah, for sure. But I'm like, for $70 a month,
it should be perfect.
Yeah, it should blow your socks off. You know, it should be like, oh my God, I'm getting this for such a steal. Like, that's what it should be. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. Because the price point is not, you know, it's not low enough where I'm like, okay, I it's not $20 where you're like, okay, I can deal with a hiccup or two or a minor inconvenience or two, because on this side of things, you know, it's so much better. But it's like for $70 a month to list, you know, whatever, 600 items, there's just too many like things that are, you know, that you're constantly having to go back and check. And so, I just talked to her about, yeah, I talked about it tonight, and I was like, dude, I was like, this is, you know, this is getting to where it's too much downside for the money. And that's why I sent you that video, that video from Tech, because I was like, dude, it'd be nice to just have a way to, you know, to mass upload. But, you know, then you're also adding 50 cents to your cost of listing. Goods.
Yeah.
On top of your promoted and the fees, and you know what I mean? And so then at some point, whether it's right now or in 10 years, but at some point it's going to be like, well, dude, you know, 60% of your overall sales price is just going to be cost of goods and other bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, and so we're looking to do the opposite of that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I at some point, I believe I love the direction that we're going. In my opinion, I love the direction that we're going with this. And just like anything else that comes out that's still kind of new on the market, it's going to be at a premium. But just like with electric vehicles or smartphones, you know what I mean? They're going to become so commonplace and so widely available that the cost for it is going to be so low, because there's going to be so much competition in the space. That if you give it just a little bit of time, you don't jump on it right away. In just a little bit of time, you'll be able to get that for, say, 5 cents a listing. You mean, then you're like, okay, cool. Well, 5 cents is like you could miss 5 cents per listing and not even know about it. And so, you know what I mean?
I totally agree. The person that's going to win this is that the person that can do all of those things at one time, and the person that can, like, kind of like the Posh Sidekick that I use. I am paid to use them. Link down below. I think it's better than Vendue. I've used it, but it, just so everybody knows. But I think the person that wins is a person that can delist things and manage the inventory perfectly, and then can also cross list to every platform that you want to cross list to, and then can do the AI, build the listing, and list it for you perfectly with just uploading the pictures. I think there's kind of three things that everybody's kind of doing separately right now, that whoever brings all three of those things together in the inventory management and the uploading and all of that is going to be the winner.
And make sure that it works, and it works really, really, really good before you charge even a nickel for your service. You have to make sure that us as sellers are ultra confident in the fact that I'm gonna do what this service says that it will do. I'll do my part, it does its part, and I don't have to go back and double and triple check to make sure that this service is doing what it's supposed to be doing. I don't want, just like big Big Huevo resells. Is that, that's big balls, by the way, in Spanish, I'm pretty sure, or eggs, either one.
Yes.
I've been using Better Lister for, you know, whatever. My take is it takes too long to fix all the mistakes. My wife does the listings for us, and the longest part for her is searching the model slash the style names, which Better Lister gets wrong. That's what I'm saying is I don't want the good parts of this to be able to mass upload, to get, you know, some of the description stuff right, the titles right. And then I have to go back and I have to fix the style numbers and the, you know, the categories, or, you know what I mean? Like, because yeah, all of that, by the time you go back and fix all of that, you could have already had two or three listings done manually. You could have, exactly. You know what I mean? Because, you know, because now you're looking at all of these categories with a soup, like under a microscope, because you're like, well, shit, if one of them is wrong, what are the chances that that two's wrong and five's wrong? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's the stuff that's like, I don't mind people wanting to make some money and develop awesome stuff, dude. I'm totally down with that. But I just, you know, it's hard. I would love for people, and this has nothing to do with tech at all, like literally at all, but it's because I don't want it to sound like I'm being mean or whatever. Like that dude's awesome. But I just wish that these services would be pushed out and maybe it was, but pushed out into a beta. And that beta might last a year. You don't know. You know what I mean? But I want it to be pushed out to people that are really putting pressure on these systems, and then work out all your kinks there. And you always have kinks in anything, but work out all of your kinks there and then bring it to a space where you can, you know, you can have people buy your service, and, you know, 99 times out of 100, it's going to work absolutely flawlessly, you know?
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I've been dominating, Coach. Go ahead.
You know, the groups that we're talking about could actually have a set of beta testers that are being asked, hey, here, take this and break it so we know what we need to fix. You know, that one service that hates me and you, Mike. But loves the big guy here.
As they call him.
Yeah. I was so happily surprised. Well, not really surprised, but I was so happy to hear the success of the Whatnot sales / D list working to perfection, because, you know, that's kind of an offshoot. I mean, I know we're all, you know, well, you and me, Mike, and occasionally Mr. Headhouse, are into Whatnot, but you and I are in there entrenched pretty, you know, I'm every week and you're a couple times a month. So it's not really your main area of selling. I mean, everybody knows eBay, Poshmark, Mercari, Depop. Those are the mainstream ones that people are hitting every single day. So for it to reach out and manage Whatnot effectively, it's very encouraging. So what if we could mate that one with Tekken's AI and see how that would work? That would be,
see, that it would be awesome, because what they've done with that app, I think they've already kind of merged with another one, because it was a Poshmark relister initially, and then I think there was a separate company, Crosslister, that was called Crosslister. And I think they've taken those two and they've kind of put them together, but they need to upgrade their AI and their listing. The listing flow takes forever too. I tried to do it. I don't know if you tried to list in Vindoo to everywhere too. It is just always going to be faster for me to just list on eBay and then shoot everything over.
That's basically, and like I've said the last month, every week, I don't mean to keep repeating myself, but your titles are different per platform, in my opinion. I can use the same, I would much rather use an eBay title on every other platform than use an every other platform title on eBay. That's my opinion. And so to go in to do a mass title and then put that across all of them, I don't like that, because you add things to other platforms that don't need to be there. And you take away really more, you take away from information that needs to be in the title on eBay. That's how I've always looked at it. And, you know, and like we've had to go back and fix a lot of titles from Vendu because it has listed them across all. And I come back and I'm like, you know, this title sucks. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's just not the keywords that need to be there. It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't look professional. It doesn't, you know, it's super annoying. But Z-Bear, I will say, he did ask earlier about washing a corduroy hat. I will say I've never washed a corduroy hat, frankly, any different than my other hats for the most part, as long as they don't have a cardboard brim. The only thing that I do differently is watch the amount of starch that you use to, if you are going to use starch at the very end to shape it, don't overload a corduroy hat with starch. It makes it super crunchy and like it ruins the feel of the hat. You can do what Steven said last week or the week before and starch the inside of the hat. So that way you still have the corduroy feel that's like unstarched on the outside of the hat. That works out well. But other than that, Steven, I don't know if you washed them any different than like a normal old hat.
It seems like there's the percentage of cardboard bills is higher in corduroy. So you just really got to watch for that. And if it has a plastic bill, then it's fine to wash a corduroy, but just be careful for the cardboard bills.
I don't know if Z-Bear just like a tiny recap from last week. Z-Bear, if you weren't here last week, we talked about this. The only difference, if you flick that bill of that hat and flick the bill of the hat that you're wearing, they'll either sound the same or they'll sound different. If they sound different, if they sound like a little more dull, it's usually because those hats have a cardboard bill. Those are like, you know, from the 80s and earlier, basically. And so if they do, you don't want to soak that. You don't want to soak that bill. You don't really want to get it that wet at all, frankly, but you definitely don't want to soak it because cardboard will never come back to the structural integrity like some of these like composite plastic bills will.
No, because it's paper.
Yeah, exactly. And so it'll just ruin it. So
that's the only way to try to save a cardboard bill is actually to load it down with starch.
Yeah.
If you ever want to bring it, works 60% of the time, it works all the time.
Yeah.
60% of the time.
Yeah, all the time. And when you load down a corduroy hat with starch, I hate the feel of it. It ruins the feel of the corduroy. So, that's other than that, you should be fine to just wash it like how you wash any of your other old hats.
Spot clean it if you can. If you can't, then go to wash it.
I don't know if we missed anything else because I don't have the little scroller.
Not really a cross-listing question, but have you guys ever got a Vero and went and listed it on Posh or Mercari? Nervous about doing it. There are items that I will only list on Poshmark or Mercari. Not because they're fake or anything like that. I don't ever try to sell any. If I know something's fake, I'm not going to list it anywhere. But I will say they're less regulated, maybe. I sold one today. I should have put it in the bolos. So there's this bureau, a vintage Bureau of Land Management hat. I will not put that on eBay ever. It's old, it's vintage. They shouldn't have a problem with it. It's not like a new hat. And I get it's kind of like a federal agency, or it's kind of like FBI hats or stuff like that. And it could be, and technically you're supposed to be able to list old vintage stuff like that, but people still get them taken down, old parks and recreation hats. I don't ever put them on eBay. I will put them on Mercari and I will put them on Poshmark. I'm less worried about a kind of a Vero in those situations or getting a strike. But I just don't put that kind of stuff on eBay because I don't, even if you are in the right, I don't want to mess with it. even if it is vintage and old and obviously from the 1970s, it could still very well get a Vero on that type of item. Yeah. So
no sense taking the chance if you don't have to.
Yeah. And if I lost my eBay account, it would be the worst day ever. If I lost my Poshmark account, I could probably still be all right. Wouldn't be a huge thing, but I still.
Well, speaking of your Poshmark account, we did get asked a question about listing on Poshmark and Bakari. I think it was Chris. Brought a good idea. I have heard Poshmark was having issues. Is this a good place to add my hats to or Bakari? You want to talk about your recent adventures in cross listing and what you found?
Yeah, I really found Poshmark is getting better prices than Mercari. Mercari is just, it's tough. It's just like low ball. I don't know. It's the biggest low ball place ever. And I actually do the best price that I have on the internet is Mercari. It's free shipping in Mercari. All right. Hey world, go to Mercari and buy it there. You're going to get free shipping and you're going to get the same hat, but no, you got to go to eBay and you got to pay the 13 to 15% in promoted listings. And then, so then I have to charge you shipping. And I'm going to rant a little bit, but anyway, I don't know why Mercari is so low ball oriented. And even though I have a good price there, it's just, and Mercari works off of this like coupon all the time. I mean, you always have like this $10 off coupon on Mercari or $20 off coupon on Mercari. I don't really know how they're making a whole lot of money on Mercari, honestly. But hey guys, if you're ever looking for a hat, go to Mercari. You get free shipping.
Yeah, free shipping and 75% off. Yeah. Oh, that's literally so funny, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever had a Vero is when people get pissed off at you for listing like a certain like product, right?
You've never had a Vero?
But isn't a Vero different from like you listing like a post
verified
office?
Rights owner? So the company,
okay, yeah, or so like a Taylor entity. Swift hat or something that Taylor Swift don't want you to list, right? Stuff like that.
Right.
Yes. Okay, yeah, no, I've never had that. I've had just the standard, you know, shit gets taken down or whatever because it goes against the policy or whatever. Like a daggum, like a railroad lock that has like 2,000 solds. Somehow mine gets taken down, you know?
Right.
But like, you know, it's a railroad lock from like the freaking 1800s, dude. You know what I mean? But I've never had, I know that there's certain brands that they don't like you to sell. But
my last
Vero,
I think, was TikTok. I had a TikTok hat. TikTok didn't like TikTok hats, I guess. I don't know. They were protecting their precious TikTok brand. I don't know. Whatever that is. And so I had a TikTok hat taken down. Never list a TikTok hat again on eBay. I don't know. That's the last one I can remember. I've had several. I average like probably one every 3 months. I'll get a Vero.
Yeah, but as long as you don't try to relist that item, you're fine, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure it works on percentages somehow and how high risk your store is. And if I've sold 53,000 items and I'm only getting 3 or 4 Veros a year, then I'm probably still pretty low risk, I would think.
Because you don't know that a company or a brand has that verified rights until you list it, right? There's no, it's not like it. I'm sure there's probably a way to Google it, but like you're not going to Google every single item that you've ever sold.
It reminds me, sell. I got one on an old Ping hat, a Ping hat. It was probably about 20-year-old hat, and it was from Oklahoma State University. They had it was one of their Ping hats. It was obviously a real Ping hat. I mean, nobody's faking 20-year-old Ping hats. I don't see that happening. But then Ping takes it down, and I don't know. In that situation, am I still going to list Ping hats? I probably am. Just going to keep listing Ping hats because, I mean, they're not really faked. I don't know what their problem was this 20-year-old ping hat. They just found a reason to not like it. Like, and a lot of them are employing outside sources to look at their stuff, but getting lawyers involved just to scroll the eBay listings and to justify their job to take things down. So I don't know. The Vero game is tough.
Dang, dude. Brandon's absolutely going hard on some Oklahoma right now, dude. Boot him!
Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, you can talk smack about the Cowpokes all you want.
But, hey, but what you can't talk smack about is the freaking reigning world champs, the Oklahoma City Thunder, yeah, dude.
I didn't even wear my hat tonight.
I know, dude. I thought that thing was going to have sweat rings in it by week two, dude.
Hey, I was waiting to see the neck tat.
Yeah, dude.
World champions.
Yeah.
Brandon, you are going to get booted now.
Hey, what's funny about Brandon is that he graduated from FSU.
And he's a Gator guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep, FSU nice. Alum right there. I did want to ask. I think all three of us have probably had a busy week. Rob's had a busy 2 days.
Had a very busy 2 days.
You guys have anything that stand out, like good finds of the week, or like not necessarily sold, just like shit that you actually found like this week?
Oh, I do. Check this out. I don't know if you saw the show Saturday night. So lately, you know, I went big on that show Saturday night. So it was 4% commission. Let's not lie. I was chasing the dollars, right? 4% commission. I threw ladies stuff into the mix and I had a good assortment of it. So my wife and I, you know, we went thrifting the whole weekend or that whole week that we were off and we found a bunch of good lady stuff. That stuff sold pretty darn good. And I couldn't narrow it down to one or the other. It was literally all sizes. So Tuesday at this one place up the street from me, it's always 25% off for their members, right? I pop in there Tuesday. I don't even go to the men's. Straight to the ladies section. Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to tell you, it is so much more difficult to go through and find good ladies golf clothing.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely insane to do it, but you know it when you see it. And I think I've got an eye well enough where I can walk down the thing and just go bang. So
yeah.
Walked out of the store with like 10 winners. I was so
nice. Happy. Nice. That's solid. Yeah, we were driving. We had your show up like right below like the screen in the car or whatever. Then I put my iPad like leaned up against it right below there. And then Amanda had the keyboard. So like I was peeking over, watching a little bit, looking at the road. And then I'd hear you say something. I'd be like, hey, Amanda, type this in. And then she'd type it in. And so we caught at least a good bit of your show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically go through the women's section more often than not, but it's usually just looking for like the men's shirts and shit like that they'll put, you know, that like either they're trying to be hidden in there or they'll just be accidentally kind of lumped into the women's stuff as they're putting you know, stuff out. Some of the most expensive shirts that we've ever found in a thrift store have come from the ladies section of it. So I don't know if that's because people try to hide them or not, but I mean, I can't imagine that people are going to try to hide a shirt for half off day when it's a $200 shirt, you know? So it's just something that they just got.
It's an absolute different world.
Yeah. Did we go to the bins this week, Steven, or what?
Yeah, I went to the bins. I can't report anything extraordinary. I mean, some cool North Face jackets. I mean, just kind of just run of the mill, decent stuff, just nothing like super awesome, you know? So I didn't find a Scotty Cameron putter this week or anything cool like that.
No. Darn it, dude. I thought those were going to come out every week.
Yeah.
I thought so too.
Hey, Brandon, I usually put my leg in the neck hole and then depending if I can get it past my knee or not, it'll tell me if it's a man or a woman's size. So that's a little tip for you. Dude, I can't wait to see some people having their freaking leg and freaking neckles.
Somebody asked a question about leaving questions.
All right, yeah. Well, one more.
I had House answered it. Okay, sorry, bud. I didn't see your answer there.
If you guys have a question midweek or whatever, where like it's not the show, all three of us, our Instagrams are at the bottom left hand corner. It don't matter who you write, but just be like, hey, and then we'll talk about it or answer it right there or whatever. If we, you know,
all right, one more question.
Or shit, if we don't know, then we'll figure it out
before we get to bolo time. Z Bear is asking about starch. I know a little too much about this. So the big jug of StayFlow starch, they don't make it anymore. You can't get it. You can't mix your own starch. The only way you can mix your own, you have to get some actual cornstarch. And there's plenty of recipes on the interwebs about how to make your own starch. You can do it that way. I just use regular flawless spray can starch. As soon as I made a video talking about how good the StayFlow starch was, and they sold the big jugs of it for probably 30 years that I worked at Walmart. And then as soon as I made a video about it, they stopped making it, and you have to buy the aerosol cans now. And I just buy those aerosol cans. They're usually good. How much are they, Mary? Like $1.99? Yeah, they're not too much.
Yeah.
It's usually good for 20 to 25 hats. I can usually get out of one can.
Yeah, so. I get mine from the dollar store, whatever that brand is. It works fine. It's the same, probably about the same price, $1, $2, whatever. But
I did like it when they had the big jug, and you could kind of mix your own level of starch in there. You could either make it really heavy on the starch, or you could do like a 50-50 starch blend. But I'm not mixing up my own corn starch and all that.
Yeah, I find it works well, and I don't know if I learned this from Stevens or not, but
I'm still here, aren't I?
My video went out. Your voice is.
You're an exclamation point.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Y'all are going to have to go without seeing me.
Oh, your phone's locked, dude.
Uh-oh.
Dude, China's hacking, dude. Oh, dude. Oh, this is Russian. This is Russian interference. But if you just use a little bit of that starch across the front of the hat, brush the rest of the hat with that starch, dude, it's fine. You don't got to sit there and, you know, do the whole hairspray from the 80s type of deal and spray it all over the place. You can just do a little bit, you know. Some need more than others, like the, after the foam's falling out of the truckers. But he gone.
I'm back, right?
He back.
You can see me now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, you don't need to, don't spray them down to where they're, you know, you could stand the hat up on its head and it won't move unless you're standing on it type of deal.
All right.
So.
All right. I think it's time.
Dude, I can't hear this thing anyway. It really don't matter to me. Drop your favorite cash find. Raiders keep you informed.
Who's going first?
I only have one, Rob. So knock it out.
All right, let's see, Rob. Bolo time.
I've been busy for 2 days. So check this out. I know everybody knows these things. The Cutco knife holders.
I know them. I have not found them in forever.
Solid finds, solid dollar sales every single time.
I know you were expecting me to say I threw one back last week, but I didn't.
You're fine. Hey, it just keep your eye out. It's just a stupid looking little block of wood. May overlook it 1,000 times. If you see it, grab.
Why is it so? Why? How's it? Are they just
cut
expensive on the front
it's
end?
Cutco, yeah.
Because anything Cutco, grab it.
But why do you need an extra block?
Because it's Cutco. You don't need no other. There's no explanation except for it's Cutco.
Okay. Are you ready? You want me to go?
You go.
Let me. I'll start off with a hat. And this isn't the this is, it's only $40. It did go international. This person ended up paying like $70 for it. But I wanted to pull this one up because you're looking for this side hit right here. If you look on this hat and you're looking and you have a sports specialties hat and it has this side MLB right here, then that is the hat you're looking for. If you have it in snapback, you're looking at more like a $200 or $300 hat. This one happened to be fitted, so it only sold for $40. But I did want to show everybody this one and bring a good hat in here. And always look these up and the styles. Anytime you have a MLB with the side logo, sports specialties, definitely worth digging into on those. And that's tomorrow. I just sold it like right before the show. And I did find some hockey stuff. I think I told y'all last week. Check out
hey.
These aren't my solds, but there are some really, look at this one. Some of the hockey gloves out there are going for $150. And a lot of them, mine are going to be in around the $50 price range, but I didn't think that hockey gloves were going to be that much. These, and then there's some that are like multi-hundred dollars. Let me see if I can pull up the right one. This one. There it is. Finally. So, like, these, especially the vintage hockey gloves, were really good. And, of course, if you ever find a goalie hockey glove, $400 on this, like, used, pre-owned goalie hockey glove was really good. And I just happened to find some hockey gloves this week or last week, and then I was looking them up and I was like, damn, some of those go for some real good money. So most of the hockey gloves were in the $50 to $100 range, which is pretty good, but just make sure you look those up. You could have a really good set. See, this one was even $355 on some vintage ones, and it was auction. Pretty crazy.
Can you see that, Rob?
Am I the only one seeing the same picture?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same photo as well. So the same, Steven, with the 150, the 50, and 59.
Still up there, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Bam, there it is.
Boom, cool. You're good now. Those go for some bread, boys. If anybody's just listening and not watching, there's four different hockey gloves. It looks like three of them are goalie or hockey goalie gloves. And then the other one is just, I'm not a hockey guy, but just a normal set that like the, you know, like regular players wear. The regular player ones are called the Eagle X70 hockey gloves, black 100% leather. Those went for $355 on auction plus ship. And then the other two are, yeah, the other two are the catcher gloves. One's called the Bauer Vapor Hyperlite. The other one's called the True Lefarve or whatever, Hazardous PX4. And I can't see the top one, but it looks like a, True Catcher or something like that. True. So, yeah. So you guys see any of those? That's money. It looks like the catcher mitts for the goalies. Might come.
There's some bread, price. Some good money.
I have three this week. I thought it'd be cool because it's like all in just wildly different categories. So the first one is, we saw this one a little while ago too. Yeah, last month on the 21st of last month. But we got
Steven, old, bring us back.
Oh, full screen.
Yeah, beam me up. There we go. Old school Razor phone.
Oh yeah. How much are they going for?
Dude, they sell. So I had this one listed for $75. It sold for $68. Minutes. 20 minutes or so. Like it's, yeah, just nice. Somebody shot me a $68 offer. I was like, cool, dude. I'll take $7 less. Those one, this one specifically sold a little bit better because it is pink. I don't, the pink ones sell better. Right? Yeah, the pink ones sell better than like the silver and blue. And I think red also sells really well. So look out for those. Then I also got, I listed this yesterday and it sold overnight, which I picked up over the weekend, which I thought was sick, is this. Oops, sorry.
ST, this, I would just pick up any. What is that?
It's called a giant niblick. It's a sand wedge, I believe. Rob might know more about it, but it's a sandwich. And the head on this golf club, for it being a sand wedge, like a normal,
it's fat, like a big spoon.
It's
right?
huge.
Yeah.
So like, which I don't. These are kind of, these are just like kind of like normal wedges, but you can kind of see like how big it. How, you know, it's about three times this size. So it's a huge. The head on it is massive. Everything else about it is pretty normal. The shaft and the grip and everything. But so I picked it up not knowing anything about it. It just looks so interesting. I've never seen one like that before. So I just grabbed it. It was like, you know, whatever, $5 or however much it was. And I looked it up. The sell-through rate on it is amazing. It's like a little over 100%. There's not many listed, not many sold, but it's over 100%. And I listed that last night and it sold. It sold by the morning for $52 plus shipping. So, and then the last one, I think it's cool because it's so outside of like, you know, my wheelhouse. And that's why I think it's awesome to have, if you guys have girlfriends or wives, have their input on stuff because they know shit that you don't know. But mm-hmm. we got this Juicy Couture. This Juicy Couture, purse. And like, there's the back of it. It kind of goes all the way around. This is a big kind of key on them. Are they usually have these pink kind of accents or whatever to them.
Right.
And this thing sold for $140. So
right. What's
it sold for $140. Yeah. Look.
Sweet. Yeah. No pen marks and stuff like that.
No. So, yeah, I think we had it listed for $200, but when we went to the Keys over the weekend, we put the whole store on 30%, or it was because it was not during the weekend, it was during the week, but we put the whole store on 30%, so they got 30% off, but it sold for $140, and and I'm like, you know, I couldn't tell you the first or last thing about a purse, so.
What about the sweats? I mean, I find them in every thrift store. So Juicy Couture sweats.
Yeah. So we actually sell a good amount of Juicy Couture like tracksuits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The velour ones do really good. The ones that have the embroidery and like that embellishment, like the bedazzle kind of, you know, like patterns either on the butt or on the legs or whatever. Those ones do really good. I mean, they'll be, you know, a $40-$45 pair of sweats or even higher if it's a jacket. It could be a $50-$75 jacket.
Really? I didn't know there was back.
Super back. And we actually I learned more about it when we were in New Orleans for a Mardi Gras when I did that stream from the when I did that hat show from there.
Yeah.
And dude, there were so many girls wearing Juicy. And I was like, dude, this thing is like, you know, I mean, I remember it from when I was younger. But then all of a sudden,
I think it's definitely very more popular in different regions.
Yeah, yeah. So,
ST, you are the man. I appreciate you so much. ST, hit us with the $5 super chat.
$5, dude. Hey, super. I didn't know what is a super chat, dude.
It's the same as like a tip. Oh, Mikey, look, ST, dude, hell yeah. Something to know about when
you got
to
get up and shake your Juicy Couture now. That's $5. That's what $5 gets you right there, boys.
Oh, there it is. If I was downstairs, I'd have the tip gun. But so, Mikey, something to take with you when you're looking at purses. If you don't have the missus with you and everything, make sure you go all around the edges and look for wear around the handles, the hardware you want to check for tarnishing. The bottom you want to check for wear and stuff like that. And when you open it, check for smell.
check for stains, check for pin marks.
What's a juicy make couture sure purse? What's a bad smell in a juicy couture purse?
Cigarettes. Well,
you know, a lot of times you'll get cigarettes or you'll get like a really very.
I know who our sponsor is next week.
I'm not just talking about juicy couture, though. I'm talking about all purses. Like, if you find me, I know where you're going with this. Any purse that you come across, I mean, if you get a Vera Bradley, you get a you know, a Coach or something like that. You know, it could be really perfumey. You don't want to get that. You can't sell that. It's just horrible. But those are some of the key elements to look at before you pick it up.
Cool. That works. We did have, I do want to show you just the amount of, viewers and watchers on this thing. But, is there a way to show it after it sells? There's not.
Hats are fun.
I guess, there's no way to show like the viewers and watchers after something sells or whatever, right? Well, I guess probably not because it's sold already.
What are you asking, Mike?
Well, you couldn't see like the amount of watchers and viewers at the time something sold.
Oh yeah, no.
Oh
no.
Well, yeah. Oh, here it is. Oh, dude, Amanda must be listening because she literally just sent it to me. But this one was priced super low because of the reasons that Coach just pointed out. But this was listed for like, what, like one day, I think? It was listed for like one day. And you can kind of see, obviously, some of the title was kind of cut off. This is like the actual listing for it. So you can kind of see like all of the... all the keywords. That's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah. It's just like an old Guess bag. But yeah. I mean, it was stained and like, you know what I mean? There's like some like little stuff wrong with it. But that's what we were talking about earlier with how important those titles are, because this has like, you know, most of the words in this, I wouldn't put the flames and all that stuff. Not that it really mattered, but most of the words in this are just big keyword. You know, and Amanda does a great job of like these baby core and like, you know, crap that I don't even know what that even means. You know what I mean? Or like office core, and there's all these different things. So like, it's just like important things that you can look up and just Google, like, hey, or type into ChatGPT, like, hey, what are the best keywords for, you know, this Polaroid ring, or, you know, whatever, like whatever it's going to be. And then try to plug in as many of those as you can into that. Because the bag was cheap, but I mean, it had 150 views at the time that it sold, and that was in one day. You know what I mean? So it was like, that's an incredible amount to have in one day. And part of the reason
all know that, Brandon.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, she steers the ship. Part of the reason for that is because the listing has so many of those good keywords in it. You know, so yes.
All right, guys, I think that is episode 15 in the books. We really appreciate everybody for hanging out today. We're scheduled for next Wednesday at 8 as well. I got like 3 scheduled out. Make sure you go hit the notification bell on those so you can be with us when we're live. If you're in the podcast world, we really appreciate you. Leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week ready to do it again, ready to talk all things eBay to whatnot. Thank you again, guys. See you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all.
I would show you my nipples, but it would be a little